Good evening, everybody.
Ghostly Talk.
This is Ghostly Talk with Scott, L, and Doug. And we're live this week. It's 7 p.m. Eastern Time on a Sunday.
Yeah, Sundays.
Ooh, we got a show for you today. Yes, we're going to live talk about some cool stuff.
Ghostly Talk.
There, I moved my microphone. I bet you heard that. Here's what we got. I'm thinking we're going to talk about the psychological effects of paranormal activities.
I'm here.
You're here.
I'm here. Sorry.
Cool. So who are you?
My bladder calls. I'm Scott.
You're Scott. I'm Doug.
This is Ghostly Talk.
Hey, yeah.
How are you doing tonight?
Hey.
What were we talking about? You were doing that. Were
I was going to tell. I told everyone psychological effects of paranormal activity.
Yes, we had a real nice jam session about this on a Friday night.
Well, yeah, the last couple shows have been interesting. We had Iea in to do the toning, which was awesome, and then last week was Mother's Day, and we did that show with just clips of previous shows, which I didn't even put in the archives.
Okay,
I just ran it all week.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
So right. People who listen to the test stream listen to that all week.
Nothing wrong with
I
that.
I just changed the test stream back to the test stream.
Cool. So, yeah, we are going to be discussing the psychological effects of paranormal activities, basically. Now, in our quest to find new topics, we've actually had to really stretch out and really just go, okay, we got to reach, we're trying to do something different here. We could sit here every single week and talk about, taking pictures of ghosts, going to cemeteries, doing this and doing that. But, that just would get very boring after a while if you ask me, and I think Doug agrees on that.
Well, I mean, I could probably talk about ghosts.
Oh, yeah, we could. Oh,
decades,
yeah, don't get me
yeah.
wrong. I mean, we could talk about that for decades, but,
yeah.
I don't know if you want to hear that every single week. But so we've been really working on some crazy topics to, throw out to you guys and make you think.
Yeah, we want people to think, and we want people to think about things, because when you go out, and I've said this before, and I'll probably say it again, when you go out ghost hunting, things you don't think about, but things that are, happening nonetheless. The scientific side of ghost hunting, that episode of Ghostly Talk was, it was a blast.
Oh, yeah.
I re-listened to it. It was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
And so if you have to, burn, because you're allowed to burn CD-ROMs of Ghostly Talk, go grab Scientific Side of Ghost Hunting, burn that, and share it with your friends.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to do now with the direction of the show and the framework of Ghostly Talk itself, is we're trying to move out and make people think, and especially make ourselves think, too, because we're learning right along with you guys, basically.
Oh, yeah.
The psychological effects of paranormal activities. I mean, where do you start? Where do we start? Who knows, I know me and you talked.
Yeah.
We talked about this on Friday night, and we're like, okay, here's a topic. Let's try to work with it. And the one thing we both realized that we both approached this from a scientific point of view. Okay? And so, psychological effects, what do you mean by that? Well, that means, okay, to keep it real simple, let's just say, are you scared? Are you worried? Are you, the heebie-jeebies, we'll be talking about that,
Well, even in a broader sense, ghost hunting, when you look at ghost hunting, and in particular, when you look at ghost hunting, who does that affect? Well, it affects you, of course, as a ghost hunter.
Yeah.
And so there's psychological effects going on there, because you've got to be basically psychologically prepared or psychologically cool with it, that kind of thing, in order to
go out
and
do
it. Yeah.
Yeah,
so,
that's the thing. I mean,
you.
We all agree. I mean, we've talked about this in previous shows about, the first time you go out and do something like this, and it's like, I mean, I know personally I had to mentally prepare myself.
Oh, yeah.
Because I never was in a cemetery at nighttime with a couple of people or whatever with a camera.
Right.
It's a very odd situation when you think about it, and it can be quite scary for some people, too.
Well, and society tells you, and it's true, cemeteries are places of reverence, places of respect, although there's evidence of disrespect
yes.
all over every cemetery.
Everywhere.
But society tells you to respect those final resting places, that kind of thing. And then you're going to go, careening through there with a camera at night. And it takes some preparing if yeah. you've listened to what society tells you.
Yes.
And it's true. You know, you have to do it with the respect and reverence mm-hmm. that the cemetery is, that the place is due.
Oh, yeah.
But it does take some psychological preparation, mental.
Yeah, for the person who wants to walk in there from a scientific standpoint, you still have to concern yourself with that. Because, I mean, honestly, if something like this scares you that bad, I know there's passion in life and there's things you just have to do. But honestly, if it scares you that bad, it could put you in a bad spot if you
yeah.
ask me. I wouldn't, I mean, if you're that scared of going out to a cemetery, which, I mean, by this time, me and Doug.
No, it's yeah, just, it doesn't scare
it's
me.
It's like getting up and drinking coffee, dog.
It's just scientific, morning, it happens, yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, so for the ghost hunter, let's say, the scientifically approaching ghost hunter, I mean, what are the aspects that, I mean, what? How are you, you know, psychologically affected by that, okay? Really, me and Doug kind of said, you know, it don't really affect us either way. It may have affected us in a certain, in a broad sense, in a small way, I'd say, when we first started, because it was something new.
Right, but because I think that our interests that's the incorrect use of the word. How's that? I'll take an English class soon. Our interest was already, like, leaning toward that. Otherwise, we would have never gotten into it.
Yeah.
And since it's our hobby and stuff like that, we were already pretty well set psychologically.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for the average ghost hunter or the, you know, beginner ghost hunter or even the expert ghost hunter, I think they're pretty well psychologically set to go out ghost hunting.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that I'm ready for when a full-blown apparition appears in front of me and says, boo, or whatever it does,
yeah.
or get out.
That's something I don't think anybody on this planet is prepared to do.
I don't
see
yeah.
or even approach.
Yeah, even as somebody who's, like, looking for that kind of thing.
You can talk you can talk about launching yourself off into on the space shuttle all your life. It don't matter until you actually do it. You're
yeah.
not going to know how to approach it. Or what? I shouldn't even say how to approach it because you're trained for that kind of stuff. But what is going on in your mind, you're not going to know how it feels until you actually do it. Same thing applies to something like if it actually ever happened to me or you, if we were just walking along in a cemetery one night and all of a sudden some lady in white walks up to us and goes, hi.
Yeah. Get out.
And I'm not going to sit here and lie. I'm not going to go, well, I'm a
or
ghost,
free
I'm a ghost
me
hunter.
Or help me.
Yeah, I'm a ghost hunter. I can handle it. I'm going to get nervous.
Yeah.
To say the absolute least, all right?
Yeah, as I'm running away, I'll be snapping pictures. I think that's probably how I'll handle it.
If I get lucky, I'll be snapping pictures.
Yeah.
I'm going to probably be like, ah! I'm
yeah.
gone,
ah!
I mean, that's just...
So I don't think even for all aspects of our own hobby,
mm-hmm.
I don't think I'm, like, completely prepared.
No.
But I think I can probably handle it.
But as far as what we're talking about, going out and doing an investigation in a cemetery, just for example, okay, we're to the point now where, you know, mentally, like I said, we approach it from a scientific view. We want to have a small degree of fun when we do this, too, and we want to learn. So that's what our interests lie in now, not... I'm scared.
Yeah.
I mean, really, we're not, and that doesn't mean we're hard guys either. It's just where we are mentally now with that, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
But we do understand.
We're developing our thick skin.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. There
to
you
an
go.
Extent.
There
yeah.
you go. Exactly. We do understand, though, that some people can be affected mentally in a very negative way.
Yeah.
In a positive way too.
There's going to be people out there who, if they drive by and see flashing going on in the cemetery, they're going to be affected.
Yeah.
Probably, you know, because of the society telling you those are places of honor, places of reverence. You know, probably negatively. So you
yeah.
get the cops called on you, that kind
it's
of thing.
It's still taboo to go walking around a cemetery.
Yeah.
At nighttime.
Yeah.
It's been, you know, you've seen, I'm sure you've seen millions of movies with people walking through cemeteries, you know, creeping through a cemetery or whatever, and that makes it still taboo.
It's because it's taboo that they put those, you know, usually kids partying in a cemetery at
yeah.
night, and then bad things happen to them
yeah.
because it's a horror movie, you
yeah.
know.
And it just,
it
yeah,
is taboo.
And that goes back to what you were saying before. Somebody's driving by a cemetery at nighttime, and they see flashing lights, or they see some figurine walking around that they can see the tree through it. they're going to freak.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think I would freak.
I know.
If I saw something like
I'd be
that.
Like, what's up?
So it goes both ways for us. I mean,
yeah.
we we're just as open to the fact that, hey, I can get scared too. And we've talked about places that, you know, well, I've talked about places that I just don't want to go to.
Yeah.
It's like, look, man, that just gives me the heebie-jeebies. I can't handle that. I mean, I am honest. I mean, it just because we're doing a radio show here don't mean we're we're not scared of anything. I mean, you put me through a haunted house, I'm gonna flinch a few times. I mean, I've been through them, and I'm 27. For God's sake. I shouldn't be scared of this stuff, but I still am, though.
Oh well, it's a interesting topic, and you're always dealing with your mortality, which is another big thing about psychological stuff. However, before getting into that stuff, we were going to talk about the other people who are affected.
Yeah.
Right?
Now, we were going to... Here's an example. Okay. This actually is kind of a personal thing for both of us. We were going to do an investigation at a person's house. Okay. Now, I was a site guy. I went there and actually checked the house out, drew up the maps for the house. I talked to the owners of the house. Well, the owner of the house. And this is something we are very concerned with. Doing this kind of thing, because there are things that can happen to you. I mean, just because you walk into a house and take some pictures of someone's house and you go, okay, yeah, here's some ghosts, here you go, bye. It isn't about that. I mean, if you want to do this the right way and approach something like this the right way, there is a degree of follow-up. Going back to what I was saying, though, I came to this house and checked the house out, drew up the maps, listened to what they had to say, and I made it a very strong point to say, look, we're going to come in here and take pictures of this house at nighttime. We're going to have the lights off. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. Excuse me. We're going to do this, do that. We very well may come up with something. We very well may not. If we do come up with something, is it going to freak you out? Because you are suspicious that you have ghosts or some type of paranormal activity going on in your house.
So basically, be prepared for if we come up with, yes, there is something unexplainable going on in your house.
We have something. Well, not even that. Maybe we have something on film.
Yeah.
That we can't explain. Okay. So I told the lady, look, if you are not comfortable with this, if you think that if we give you a picture and say, look, we went through all the photos we shot this night and we came up with this here, and we all looked at it and said, I don't get it. Do you? No, I don't get it either, blah, blah, blah. Is that going to have some type of negative effect on your outlook of your home?
Because you can't have a homeowner... this applies to anybody who regularly inhabits a place and wants it investigated. So, so a business owner, a homeowner, a worker.
Yeah.
If you're going to a place, I'll call them homeowners, even though it could be business people.
Yeah.
You can't have your homeowner that you're going to go out and do an investigation for suffering negatively from the results of the investigation.
Yeah. What good have you done by doing that?
Yeah, you've done
no
good.
You've done bad.
Yeah, you've done bad. You've done
really
the opposite
have.
Of what you wanted to do.
So, and just to top that off and give it a little closure, the person ended up calling us saying, look, I thought about what you said, and I don't want you guys to come.
Right. She
Fine.
Was more comfortable.
I was happy to hear that she was honest with me.
Yeah. She was more comfortable not knowing
for sure
that there were unexplainable occurrences in her house. She was, you know, more comfortable with the bumps in the night, with the the little
just
flickers
the
of light here and there, and the suspicion.
Mm-hmm.
She's more comfortable with that than actually having something on film or on tape or on, you know, a voice recording, unexplainable.
I know personally, me, and I don't think Doug either, have really ever sat down with a professional ghost hunter.
But I would hope that they would approach it
the same way.
Yeah.
We're learning with you guys.
Yeah.
And this is something that we, as a team, learned. We learned that. And going, you know what? If this could be bad. If we walk in there and go, look, here's a picture, here's some audio, here's whatever, and this is anomalous. We don't know what it is. And that could really have a bad effect on some people. And I really don't want to be responsible for someone having to move out of their house.
Right.
I don't want to be responsible. Yeah. I couldn't live with someone.
Just because of a picture or an audio tape, have somebody like get so scared of living in their own house.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you present them with something unexplainable.
I mean, even on that.
Not a good thing.
This isn't even something we talked about, but I just thought about it, too. What if you brought a psychic into the house, and the psychic walks through there, or some type of medium or clairvoyant walks through the house and says, you know what, this is what the person looks like. This is what the person, who the person was. This is what they did. Now the person, the homeowner, has a picture in their mind of what this person could be. And if they're not comfortable with that, imagine that just being multiplied 10 times now, because they have an actual visual in their mind of what this person could be.
Yeah, suddenly there's some kind of, like, even though it's not something you can see, feel, or touch, you probably can't maybe able to see and hear it, but, I mean, you know, touch this object. Suddenly, it's something in your mind with a personality, with a name, with clothing on, you know. I mean, it's like something.
It becomes even more real in your mind.
And
the bottom line with everything we just said here, with the negative aspects of this, is that your mind can screw you. It really can. Your mind the mind is a beautiful thing, and me and Doug both appreciate the mind, and we're trying to expand our minds by doing this show, and we're hoping to do the same with you guys.
Yeah.
But the mind can also be a very scary thing, and if you implant something like that into someone's brain without the proper follow-up, you could do more damage than good by going to that house.
And we're late to hear about the Felt Mansion, so
we'll be right back.
West Michigan Ghost Hunters Society invites you to join us at the Felt Mansion. Visit us at www.geocities.com/WMGhost for details now.
Now, the Felt Mansion, for example, that's out in Saugatuck, Michigan. That's a property. It's owned by the city municipality, some municipality there, and they've got to maintain this building. And so because of its rumors of being haunted and stuff like that, the municipality has allowed the West Michigan Ghost Hunters in to do these investigations, and then have invite the public in for a donation to these tours. And I think if you're going to go on a tour like this of a haunted house, you'll be, you know, pretty well prepared for anything that might happen, because it's what you're going to do.
Yeah.
But if you're living in this place day to day, you know, if you're living in your house or working in your office, and because out there in West Michigan, they've got several things, the Michigan Bell Building, things like that. They've got, like, all kinds of, you know, rumored haunted places. And if you're working in a place or living in a place every single day, it's got to have some kind of effect on you.
Yeah.
So I think one of the things you may want to ask yourself, if you're going to call up a professional ghost hunter, or if you're a ghost hunter who is being called up, or even amateur ghost hunters, being called up by somebody who, I think there's something going on. I think you may want to approach it with some responsibility to the people who are being affected by this haunting.
Yeah, I mean, it's about follow-up. It really is.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's about being responsible and being respectful.
Yes.
I hope that I was completely respectful to that lady by saying what I did say and going, look, if you're not comfortable with this, we're not going to do it. Even if you want us to do it and you're not comfortable with it, we're not going to do it. Because I'm not going to be responsible for anything negative that happens to you after we leave.
Yeah.
I won't do it. I'm sorry. I'm not. Just because I'm interested in this kind of thing, I'm not going to blind myself, you know, by science, going, well, I am a scientist and I have to go in there and do this and screw her.
Yeah, you have to take the haunt-ease feelings into and emotional state into account.
Yeah, and it's very important. I mean, that's just part of the job.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of the job. It isn't about going there and trying to get creepies and ghoulies all the time. It's about knowing how to deal with people, and that's dealing with people in a positive, I think, a positive way. Now, speaking of positive, there is the other side of the sword, so to say.
Oh yeah, there would be the people who when you know they're thinking that something's going on, thinking, oh my gosh, I must be crazy.
Yeah.
I put my keys down on the counter. I went back for them. They weren't there. I searched and searched and searched, and then they appeared right where they were before. You know, what's with that? You know, I'm losing my mind. And then, of course, it turns around into, well, maybe something's going on. I better call some folks in. They call some folks in. They get some, you know, perhaps they get anomalous stuff happening in their, you know, proof of an anomalous activity happening in their house.
Yeah.
They might be relieved.
Yeah.
They might be like, oh, thank heavens, that's it. You know,
yeah. I mean,
it's not me. I'm not sleepwalking and moving my stuff. I'm not... you know,
incompetent.
These things that I'm hearing, these things that I see every so often or feel the chills, it's not me. It's something else. And whew, what a relief.
Yeah.
And a lot of folks, I from what I understand reading on the internet, are haunted by friendly haunts,
yeah.
Friendly spirits or friendly whatever they are. And they just make it part of their household or business environment.
Part of their lives, which when you go in there, and that's why you have to get a clear understanding of how these people feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
Going, you know, well, look, you know, I think I got a ghost cruising around the house, and, you know, it don't bother me at all, but there's just some weird things happening. I'd just like to get some verification on this. It really don't bother me that much. You know, I mean, I'm not scared of anything. I don't feel uncomfortable in my home. I just want some verification. There is a clear understanding of what this person's intentions are.
And that's the attitude that's the attitude that would probably bring about a more successful investigation as well.
Yeah.
Because you're dealing with somebody who's open.
Yeah.
You're dealing with somebody, a homeowner or a business owner who is, you know, just... basically wants to know, is this what's going on?
Yeah. Even I mean, we're not going to, let's be honest here, too. Even the people that go through there, and they do get readings and on their blips and blops and all these neat things and pictures and sounds, who's to say that, you know, hey, we can't be 150% sure here either way. So what you show that person, you're going, look, this is what we got.
We can't explain.
We don't know what it is. You know, but here, this is just for
make
you.
Up your mind.
Make
yeah.
up your mind. Okay, and if the person can handle that, and they can deal with that in their day-to-day lives in their home, that's fine, and that's what we hope a lot of people do. Now, if you have something that, I mean, I've you know, Amityville Horror. You know, first of all, don't call me.
Yeah, I'm not the right person to investigate
something
like that.
With that. I'm not an exorcist, right? So, I mean, but it's nice to it's nice to talk to people that, you know, and besides, I have talked to a couple people who are like, yeah, you know, I think I had something in my house. It don't really bother me that much. I'm, you know, but, you know, I actually talk to it sometimes. I feel like it's right there with me, so I'll just talk to it. And, you know, hey, it'd be kind of neat just to know for sure, to a certain degree, you're saying for sure. I guess we could just say that loosely.
Yeah.
That, you know, there's something in my house, you know, cruising around. Maybe it's somebody that used to live there. Maybe it's someone that's buried under there. Who knows? I mean, geez, it can be a million things. But that's a nice attitude to deal with, and that's what we prefer to deal with, too. But you have to get that clear understanding to wrap it up with, though. You have to, whether it's negative or positive, you have to be the person to forecast that and go, okay, we're going to go in here and do an investigation. What's going to happen afterwards?
Mm-hmm.
'Cause it don't end as soon as you leave that house that night or wherever, whenever you leave. It don't end. You have to follow up if you want to do this kind of thing. Believe me, we learned this.
Yeah,
right
the hard
along.
Way because we had to.
It was just something that just came to us and said, you know what, we really should. We're gonna have to. This isn't the thing. The relationship don't end when you leave the house.
Right.
You still have to talk to people and follow up
because there's psychological repercussions.
And really, that's good business. It's just good business to
yeah.
do that. And yeah, psychological repercussions. Like I said, the mind can really mess you up. We can't say that enough here, which we've said it a few times already. So.
And there's even some not proof. what is this? There's things going on even legally about haunted places where folks, I guess in Pennsylvania,
uh-huh.
evidently if they don't like, write down on their disclosure when they're selling a property, you know, a house, a business, whatever, if they don't write down that they have ghosts or that they suspect they are haunted, there could be legal repercussions if they sell that property to somebody and don't disclose that.
Boy, talk about psychological problems right there.
Yeah, so that's where your psychological problems...
Now you're getting
sued. Yeah, that's where your psychological problems...
The ghosts aren't even the problem.
Yeah. Now it's like judges and lawyers.
Yeah,
yeah. So, I mean, this is like serious stuff, folks.
Yeah.
I mean, serious, serious stuff. You have to take into account the haunt-y,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
It's
very important. It isn't about just taking pictures and getting audio or whatever you're going out there to do. It is about dealing with the whole big picture here, and that is the owners. I mean, if you don't talk to the owners, I mean, you can learn a lot about the house from the owners.
Think about
it. I mean, and I know that that's a common rule anyways.
Yeah, the interview process is just as important, you know.
I sat at that house for 2 hours and talked to that lady.
Mm-hmm.
And just said, you know, along with physical things about the house and history and this and that, but a lot of the conversation was, how do you feel about this? I'm not going to force myself into your house and force this on you. It's not going to happen. It won't work that way. You can't make people do stuff.
Right.
And I'm going to say it again. I'm not going to be responsible for someone moving out of their house and having to go through all that garbage because I know what moving is all about. It's a big mess.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, we did. There are cases in history. I did searches upon searches this week trying to find something solid to talk about on this today.
Well, I saw it on TV, so
yeah.
I don't remember where, when, or why. But
yeah, there are documented cases in history where people have actually filed lawsuits against previous owners of houses
for not disclosing.
Not disclosing that there's some ghoulie running around the house knocking stuff over at nighttime.
Yeah.
It's funny when you think about it. It's hilarious.
Yeah, it's actually kind of cool. But it
does make sense to me. I mean, look, you didn't tell me. Beautiful house. I love this place. You know, wonderful. You know, I love it here. You didn't tell me that there was an apparition or a ghost or a spirit running around here saying stuff to me when I'm sleeping.
Right.
No. I would be upset myself.
Yeah.
I mean, put me in that situation, I wouldn't be happy with that person.
Well, I'm of the mind where instead of suing, I'd probably be like, ooh, bonus, you know,
well,
but at
yeah.
the same time, there's probably like the normal person in America, which is not
me.
I am
a normal, yeah.
Not me.
I do see where you're coming
from,
and I guess,
but
if I was your average everyday person that didn't do what we're doing right now,
yeah.
I think I would really go.
Yeah, you
what's
wouldn't.
Up with you?
Yeah, you wouldn't have a predisposition for wanting a haunted house.
No.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd want a haunted house, regardless. To tell you the truth, that would just. We're gonna talk about more of this, anyways.
Yeah.
I guess I'm the weak one of the crew here because I. We've talked about it before, and it's like there's just things that happen with me, where, even with going to cemeteries, going to, you know, doing all this stuff and talking about it, you know, 3 or 4 times a week, you know, with people or whatever, I still get the heebie-jeebies.
Oh, yeah.
I still get the heebie-jeebies, man. And the heebie-jeebies are a real thing. I mean, we talked about my laundry incidents where I'm down in the basement doing laundry. And I mean, it's a big, dark basement. And I never really thought about it too much until I started ghost hunting and studying the paranormal real heavily. Now I'm like, whoa, dude.
What's here? What's with me?
Yeah.
That I don't know about.
I mean, it's very simple. I mean, I don't know what a professional really does. And I mean, I'm not going to say, well, professionals have the same problem, too, because I don't know that. Maybe they're very, like, hey, look, I'm a scientist, and that's all it is to me. It's numbers to me.
Right. Well, unfortunately, my view of professionals is the probably what I see on TV.
Yeah.
You know, where they swoop in, like, what's that show with Dan Aykroyd? Psy Factor. No, yeah, Ghostbusters. Oh, there you go.
Yeah, yeah.
No, that's not my view of professionals.
No.
That was a fun movie, though, or a fun couple of
both
movies.
Of them were fun,
but,
yeah.
No, like Psy Factor, Chronicles of the Paranormal.
Yeah.
That runs on, I don't know, some satellite channel every so often. And, which was, by the way, a phenomenal series. But it was, you know, they're basically this team who pulls up in a trailer, and they've got, you know, a psychologist, someone who goes out and takes the readings. They've got the case manager, and then a lady who's like really good at interviewing people.
Yeah.
So they've got like a little team put together.
Uh-huh.
They do a scientific study, but they like, you know, they cruise up in like this trailer that folds out and into like this office,
yeah,
and then they take over, completely take over the situation.
Yeah.
And it seems like they have absolutely no regard whatsoever for the people who this stuff is happening to, except for they do have, you know, Colin Fox or whatever, who's the cool actor, who's the doctor guy, the psychologist. So at least they have a psychologist. But I think we should take a break and then do Link of the Day.
Very, very, very important. This is important stuff, though.
Because there's another heavy half hour coming up after this.
Geez,
this is a heavy topic. Something we haven't talked about before that we really needed to get on the air.
Yeah.
So,
let's take
a break and do the Link of the Day after that.
Be back in a second.
Link of the Week, sorry.
It's paranormal, scientific. It's ghostly time.
And we're back.
Yeah.
Welcome back.
I lost my link. Oh, here it is. Huh.
We got an interesting link of the week. Doug dug up something really cool.
I happen to be leafing through the Phenomenews, which here in Southeast Michigan is like the local paranormal.
Like the Metro Times of the paranormal.
Yeah, it's like the paranormal like newspaper kind
Which
of thing.
Which Metro Times is the local paper here, sorry.
Yeah.
We have people like in Europe.
Oh.
We have people like, did you know that? Have people in Europe listening to us?
You know, I bet you didn't know. I was actually cruising through the logs, and somebody or other from Chester College or what? Some Chesterfield College or something in England. Downloading the and I'm like, okay, so cool.
Yeah, that's all you can say about something like that.
Well, yeah, some of those IP addresses you can't really like convert into names.
Uh-huh.
So like a lot of them, all you know about is that they're in the RIPE database, and the RIPE database is the European Address Registry for the internet.
Mm.
So you just know they're somewhere in Europe. But one actually went back to a university in England, and I thought, cool, hey, mates.
Great.
If I could whip out a Cockney accent or something, I would, but I'm afraid I'd slaughter it, and then that would be doing, you know, less respectful.
And we wouldn't get any listeners in England.
Yeah, that would be it. They would tune right out. What we found... And I'm using this as my link of the week because it's local for here in Southeast Michigan, but basically there's going to be other links for wherever you are. If you're in England, if you're in, you know, Japan, wherever you happen to be, there's going to be links that you can probably find. You'd have to search for those. But I'm going to use this as an example because obviously our heaviest listener base is in Michigan and Ohio. So anyway, there's these things that we have been dying to go to and we keep forgetting or something comes up or whatever. We haven't gone to these things yet. They're psychic fairs. And I'm just sure that everybody who's listening must have heard of these before. Psychic fairs are where, I guess, like, all these psychics get together and they're in a room and you go up and you donate, like, 10, 20 bucks or whatever to them. And then they give you a reading. And, you know, they can tell you all kinds of different things about past lives, about your future. They can read tarot cards for you or do numerology on you. Like, they do all this stuff for you. And I think that's, like, totally cool. And I really, really, really wanted to go. And I haven't gone yet. Well, I mean, when I was a kid, I went to a couple, but I don't hardly remember them.
We're going to be going as a team here because it's like,
yeah, we want to go, yeah, ghostly talk, you know, kind of people.
New topics here.
Yeah.
Talk about.
So these psychic fairs, there happens to be a link in this month's, or maybe it was last month's, Phenomenews about psychic fairs in Southeast Michigan. So here's the link. This is my link of the week. Just because... It's, like, so totally cool, and if I don't mention it on the air, I'll probably forget next weekend when there's a psychic fair right here in Warren.
Yeah, now we get to listen to it over and over again.
Yeah, so www.angelfire.com/stars, STARS, /fairs, FAIRS. So anyway, that's actually an advertisement in the Phenomenews, and they do these psychic fairs. So I thought that was, like, a totally cool thing. Obviously, that link it'll work for everybody. Anybody on the internet can go to it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at the list right now as I was looking at this before the show, and they actually have a whole page with, like, all of you know, all the fairs that are coming up, like, in the next 2 months.
Yeah.
We're going to probably go to the one that...
Right, yeah, the one right on Saturday.
Yeah, on Van Dyke, on Van Dyke Road in Warren, where it's in Michigan, so anybody else don't know that.
Hey, I think I just detected the topic of next week's Ghostly Talk.
Oh, boy.
What were Doug's past lives? What is in Scott's future? Love, money,
don't
romance.
Don't ask. Dude, I love romance. Anyway.
She says, call me now.
But, yeah, it's got a whole list of all the fairs you can go to if you're interested in that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, this show is about ghost hunting and a paranormal.
Yeah.
And that all falls within that.
Paranormal,
so, like,
yeah.
Hey, we both talked about that. We're like, is this really like a ghost, you know, and we're like, look, we're opening this show up to try to, like, talk about everything. It all ties together.
It sure does.
We don't know, but we, in our minds, in our hearts, me and Doug both know that it all ties together. So,
and we want to investigate everything.
Exactly.
So, yeah, the so that particular link takes you to one for local here near Southeast Michigan.
Yeah.
But just do a search. Do a search on psychic fairs and your... whatever locality you're in, you know, Massachusetts. I know there's a lot of folks. There's folks in Tennessee who listen to us. There's folks in New York. And
didn't we get a pop from Chicago, too?
I don't remember Chicago, but I remember. I think there was a Chicago, but I don't remember the specific. And then I remember, like, there's, like, people from all over the United States anyway, and and then they're
very happy about that.
Oh gosh, yeah, but
it's very cool.
And now England as well.
Yeah,
so I think that's pretty cool.
Check it out, though. It's a really cool site to check out. I mean, it's got a lot of information to go through, and if you want to go to one of those things, this is your direct source to go to. I mean, right on your computer.
Yeah.
So,
do it.
Check it out.
Yeah. So enough of that. The other thing we wanted to talk about, when you're talking about, I think we did that one.
Talking about ghosts in everyday life?
Ghosts in everyday life? Well, you kind of
really,
brushed on that.
Yeah, we didn't really dive into it.
Yeah, what we want to talk about for that, and this is very psychological because you're dealing then with you know, yourself, obviously, and just random people that you talk to.
Yeah.
Not necessarily random. They're going to be all acquaintances or coworkers or family members,
uh-huh.
But so they're not totally random, but...
Yeah.
As you're just sitting there and they're like, well, what kind of stuff do you do? Well, you know, I go out and ghost hunt.
Oh, man, you're laying the scenario down perfect.
Suddenly, suddenly you're going to get one of, like, a billion different reactions.
Yeah.
There's going to be people who are, like, you know, instantly negative.
Yeah, we've talked about that.
And that's mostly...
Where they'll shun you, kind of.
Yeah, and that's mostly religious training,
yeah,
and,
uh-huh,
and stuff like that and brainwashing. But the... So there's, like, there's people who will be, like, negative instantly, and you know, okay, that's it, clam up, let's talk about weather you know,
if
and
I,
Detroit
Tigers. I think, honestly, if I followed up on everything I've been told as far as, like, ghost stories go, like Doug said, and you set the scenario up, you're at a party one night, you're hanging out, you're at a party, so, and you bump into someone, maybe you don't even know him, or maybe you know him and you haven't seen him in a while, or any type of situation. And so, yeah, what do you do? I'm doing a ghost hunting thing now. Oh, really? Like going out looking for ghosts?
Well, like Ghostbusters.
Oh, my God, that's the first thing that's said. Oh, like Ghostbusters? Do you have, like, the proton pack and everything, too? And it's like, no, I don't have the proton pack.
Have you caught the gatekeeper?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Which, that's fine. That's all I'm funny. I laugh all the time. But, so, you know, but what will happen, the first thing usually is like, oh, well, what do you do? And, you know, you talk about that. And then, in every group, someone will come, will chime in and go, well, dude, I used to live in this house, or I have this friend of a friend whose sister's boyfriend, whose brother's... Which is cool. I mean, don't
whose brother's cat's
but,
previous owner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That just illustrates that there are a lot of ghost stories out there.
Oh, definitely.
But, and that's what I'm saying. If I followed up on every single thing that I've been told, we'd have work all the way up till probably 2007.
Oh, definitely.
Which is great. I mean,
because,
I love it.
Yeah, everybody either has a story or knows of a story.
Oh, yeah. And we're not saying that we don't like talking to people about it either, because I love talking about it.
Oh, yeah.
God, I can talk about it for days. So when people start making jokes, I'm like, that's cool. Now I can educate you on it.
Yeah.
Now I can actually tell you how it really works, and it's very boring.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I tell people, look, we don't have proton packs, we don't wear the gray suits, and we don't have a logo with a ghost inside the Buster symbol.
No,
sorry,
but we do have a logo of a ghost with a comic bubble that says Ghostly
Yeah,
Talk.
Yeah.
But I kind of like our logo.
Oh, yeah, it's cool.
But yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it's a good chance. It really is for a person such as us,
yeah,
or you, if you are a ghost hunter listening
to
the show,
folks.
To educate. That's what,
yeah,
that's what a lot of these shows about, is education and trying to learn and grow.
Mm-hmm.
So, but what will happen is you get into the ghost stories, though. You get into the ghost stories, which is cool. You start talking about ghost stories.
Always puts you on edge.
Yeah, and that's what happens. Like, we discussed this on Friday. A lot of times in conversations of that sort.
I think people are going to start wanting to come over on Friday. Because we keep saying, we discussed this, and we did.
We prepare for the show.
Folks, we have to prepare for the show, yeah.
It's getting more and more insane, and trying to tackle a subject like this.
I know, psychological effects of paranormal activity. You don't just come up with this on the fly.
Yeah, we can't do this anymore. It's getting pretty wild. But you have a conversation, though. You'll get into a conversation with people, and I've always noticed that, you know, you could be at a party, you know, and like, yeah, woo, you know, doing whatever, music's cranking, and the conversation went from like, how are the Red Wings doing? Oh, they suck. Or whatever.
Or they're great.
Or
right
they're
now
great.
They're great.
Yeah.
I hear they're doing really well. Go Wings.
Go Wings, okay.
Folks,
so,
I guess. I don't know.
But
that's about all I know about sports, by the way.
But the conversation always, every time I've been in one of these where it'll go from something fun where people are giggling and laughing, and it still may be fun, but the conversation kind of takes a turn where it's like more serious, and there'll be a small degree of tension in the air.
And again, you're talking about psychological effects, because as soon as you start talking, I mean, when you start talking about ghost hunting, the first thing is, you know, the movie,
yeah,
Ghostbusters. And after you get over that and you start talking a little more serious and you start hearing people's stories, because all of a sudden everyone has a story to tell you.
Yeah.
As you start hearing the stories and you're going over the stories, the conversation does take a much more serious edge.
Yeah, and that's where you get the whole campfire thing going, you know.
Yeah, everybody, I think, walking the planet must have been around a campfire at one point, listening to or telling ghost stories.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly, and that's a lot of fun.
No matter what religious background you have.
Yeah. The conversation always kind of takes a turn to more serious. You know, and it may get more where you're more directed towards people. It is, when you're talking a lot of times at parties, I guess, for example, it's like, hey, whatever, you know, and you're talking to 1,000 people at one time. But when you get into something like this, especially with someone who has a little more education on it, who's actually been studying it like us, you know, you start telling them some crazy stuff and throwing around some science at them, and it's like, wow, dude, okay. You know?
Yeah, suddenly the high-flying, jet-setting, you know, beer-slamming attitude tones down quite a bit.
Yeah.
And you get into, it's like, you do? You go, you have pictures?
Uh-huh.
You have audio of this?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we're really, you know, we got stuff, yeah. We're looking into it. We're trying,
yeah,
to study this. And it suddenly becomes a lot more serious. And
yeah,
and it's not like you're talking about nuclear physics. You're talking about, you know, ghost hunting, which,
yeah,
is I think a pretty fun pastime.
Yeah.
But suddenly everything gets just a notch or two more serious.
Uh-huh.
And then you start listening to stories and people start getting the heebie-jeebies,
exactly,
the skin crawling, the goosebumps,
yeah,
go up. Yeah.
I mean, it's happened to me before. It's happened to me before where I sit and talk about something like that all night long, and then I get home and I'm like, I really need to get a girlfriend. This is like, there's no one here, man.
Because then you're, yeah, alone, it's dark,
yeah,
and
yeah,
you were just talking about ghost stories.
Yeah.
Eek. And all that is psychological.
Yeah. It all ties into the psychological effects of just talking about the paranormal and discussing it, where, I mean, some conversations, I guess, could be very fun, you know, where it's like, yeah, everybody just goes here, and, you know, but believe me, I mean, I talk about this all the time, and a lot of the conversations always turn towards a more of a serious manner, and you just discuss it, and you start, and like I said, when it's somebody like us, where we have a little bit more education, I'll stretch a little bit more education.
A little bit more.
And something like this, people are going to listen to you more and go, wow, this is more than just, like, you know, Creepies and Ghoulies and the Amityville Horror and Ghostbusters. There is more to this, and there actually is science behind it. And, you know, we have pictures. So really there are ghosts. Well, I'm not going to say really there are ghosts, but, you know,
there are things that cannot be explained yet.
Yeah, you know, so that can have a negative or a positive effect on people also, too, just like we were talking about the house scenario, too. It can have the same type of effect where that might creep them out and give them the heebie-jeebies, you know, I'll put that in quotes, where, you know, hey, look, it's part of life, you know, and some people, they react differently to it.
Yeah. And after,
you have to be sensitive to that.
And after this, we'll tell you Doug and Scott's theory of why it gets so serious all of a sudden.
Yes.
Ghost Hunting, My Ethereal Anti-Drug. So why? Why? How come? You're at this party, this festive occasion, talking to folks. Suddenly, the conversation, of course, always comes around to ghost hunting because it's something that is, like, part of us. And everything gets really serious. Well, psychologically speaking, I think, and I'm not a psychologist, I'm not a psychiatrist, I'm nothing like that, but I just think it all, the underlying thing is that talking about ghosts, talking about ghost stories, it all reminds one of their own mortality.
Yes. Yes.
And because eventually, so far, everybody's going to pass on and hopefully become, you know, a spirit, ghost, you know, that kind of thing. Hopefully there's something after, at least that's what we'd like to think and prove.
Yeah.
And then there's, of course, people who think, no, there's nothing after.
Yeah.
But, and there's other people who think otherwise. But I think that the thing is, the underlying thing about our entire hobby here is that it's all dealing with everybody's mortality.
Yeah. And that is sometimes that's very taboo to talk about with people. A lot of people really don't want to deal with something like that, especially when you're young, and you know, we're both fairly young men here. Yeah,
hey.
We're young men.
Hey!
Young men, sorry, young men. Jeez, I'm sorry. We're both young men. We're just kids, okay? And
well,
we
Scott's fairly young, yeah. And then there's me.
Oh, come on. Now.
I know.
But no, when you're young like that and you're enjoying life and you're out there living it and seeing new things, the last thing you really want to talk about is death. You know, I mean.
Yeah, and what happens after this?
It can kind of be a pretty grim subject to talk about at a party, especially.
Oh, yeah.
Someone you may have not seen in 3 or 4 years.
So it does get serious, and there's a real reason why it gets serious, because you really are talking about people's mortality.
Yeah, and that does bother people, we can even move away from the whole ghost thing now, or the paranormal activity thing, just by talking about mortality, and that can give people the heebie-jeebies, too. Just think, because, I mean, I know it's been proven, I mean, it's like, psychologically speaking, it really isn't. Most people aren't worried about dying itself. That's just a lot of people accept that now.
Well, I actually had a friend, I still have a friend. Yo, Mark in California, if you listen. Anyway, he was like really, really upset about the fact that, you know, people die.
Yeah.
And it's that, you know, it's a psychological issue, and he's pretty well come to terms with it. Well, you sort of have to.
Well, yeah, when you get older, there's no other way around it. It's like,
yeah.
It's like finally figuring out, that's how it's going
to. Oh, my gosh. That's it. We're no longer a family show. Okay.
Oh, man, I'm just, okay, we'll delete that out in the archives.
I think I will.
Sorry. Okay.
There's been other things that
I'm an amateur broadcaster, for God's sakes, give me a break, all right? I'm sorry. I was just trying to make a point.
Okay, that's something we will bleep out.
I'm sorry. Parents, I'm sorry. Don't let your kids hear that.
Fortunately, this show's listened mostly to on the archives. So, but yeah, we'll
just beat the whole thing out. I'm sorry. We'll
hey, it happens. It happens.
But you get my point, okay? Just we'll leave it at that.
Yes. Yeah. You grow up. You come to terms with it. It's a psychological thing that you just have to do, and
it's bringing
me down.
Yeah. Well, like I was saying before, though, really, I don't really think people are worried about dying. When you get to a certain age, you're like, yeah, well, you know, it's inevitable. It's going to happen sooner or later. Most people are worried about the manner in which it's going to happen. That's
well,
what I
yeah.
know. A lot of people freak out about the manner in which it's going to happen. Which, yeah, there's a lot of ways that you can go.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of ways you can go that are quite uncomfortable. And how will we move on?
Yeah, this is really bringing me down.
I don't want to push it too far into this direction. But, I mean, that just talking about mortality, though, itself, just to wrap it up, it's a touchy thing. Some people have a hard time dealing with it. I know I did as a child. I can honestly say that as a child. I remember having a conversation with my mother when I was about 5 years old, sitting on the couch. And we talked about death. And my mom said to me, I'll never forget this, she's like, Scott, we all die. You're not going to live forever. And, I mean, it was really hard for me to deal with it, being a five-year-old kid.
Well, I know. I'm going to be, even though I'm 35, I'm going to be an absolute wreck when it happens to somebody really close. I always am.
And that's even harder. You go and you don't know what's, I mean, we don't know what's going to happen when, you know, we ourselves in particular pass away, but that's usually the hardest thing to deal with is with people around you that you care about.
Yeah,
on.
It's not so much our because I'm not overly worried about myself. When I go, I figure, that's fine for me, it was my time.
Yeah.
But when people I love go,
yeah,
that's going to be the hard part for me.
Very, very tough, and I do agree on that. I've been through it already, and it's Lainey, any of you people that are listening out there, you do know what I'm talking about. It's gut wrenching, and it's everything is bad. That's another thing you can't prepare yourself for.
No,
we were talking about that earlier. That's another thing that no matter how much you prepare yourself for it mentally, and I'm gonna be cool about this, and I'm not gonna cry, and I'm not gonna do this, and when it happens,
yeah, that all goes out the window.
Your emotions take over, and you have no control of it.
Yeah.
It's over with. You just got to go with it and get yourself through it.
Yeah.
We are not authorities on that.
No, we're not authorities, but
yeah,
we know it happens.
Now, briefly.
I know. We were going to talk about this for 15 minutes, but
yeah,
we didn't end up talking
briefly,
about it.
Briefly. Oh, I guess we're going to be briefly now. We've talked about the psychological effects on you.
The ghost hunter.
The ghost hunter, the person, anybody.
The people being investigated.
Yeah. Okay.
The people at parties.
Yeah, anybody, okay. What about the person that can cast out, how would I say this, Doug? Just give me some direction here, man.
I don't like the beginning of that sentence. I believe
I'm bloopering.
I can't fill that one in, but I can say there's actually people, and it's one of the theories, one very, very prominent theory, is that there are folks, and usually they're teenage folks with a lot of chemical things going on in their bodies and stuff like that,
yeah,
who can actually manifest paranormal activity because of all of the changes going on in their body and all the emotions just careening through them, and for some reason, for either a short amount of time or for a long time, they can actually manifest paranormal-like activity, poltergeist activity.
Yeah, that's what they refer to as a poltergeist.
Yeah, noisy ghosts, poltergeists.
Yeah.
They say ghost.
They can refer to it that too.
Yeah, they. What happens is one of the theories is that this is something that is happening. It's a chemical reaction in someone's body. It's all energies. And also has to do with psychological effects of these usually teenagers, because there's this stuff going on in a teenager's body and mind.
I think they said roughly between 13 and 20.
Mm-hmm.
And the teenage years, toughest years of your life.
Yeah, it's your teenage years, and there are some teenagers who evidently around them, all of this paranormal activity starts happening.
Now, this can happen. There's a variety of things that can happen with that, too. Obviously, there are, I mean, a lot of you out there that are that actually are ghost hunters and say that, you know all the facts, you know everything that goes on with it. A lot of it's things moving around, things falling off walls, things flying off walls, just various things around them that, you know, can't be explained, obviously, but they're trying to explain it by saying a poltergeist is nothing more, really, than a child's pent-up aggression manifesting itself into an energy that can actually move solid objects and whatnot. Also, it can also, the child itself, let's say the subject itself who may be affected with this, there have been cases documented where the child itself, which, I mean, this is where it starts getting pretty crazy, where a child can actually levitate themselves off of, you know, the bed or any of the ground they're laying on. They can actually lift themselves. They actually lose control of their body, and they'll start going into, like, epileptic seizures, which they may have epilepsy, you never know. But they would be thrashing uncontrollably around.
Mm-hmm.
And they are screaming, help, I have no control of myself. Something is controlling me. That is getting way out there for me.
Well, then they're trying to say it's demonic possession and
yeah,
stuff
that's
like
where
that.
That's where a poltergeist can lead to.
Yeah.
As far as that dimension of the whole poltergeist phenomena goes.
But all of that could be, and one of the theories is all of that could be just, you know, psychological and chemical changes within a young person's, body and mind.
I mean, really, that's very believable if you ask me, because we both were teenagers once, and you remember how...
Oh, what a hectic time.
Yeah. I mean, from the 13 to 20, just going by the statistic itself, your body, for one thing, goes through some ridiculous changes.
Oh, absolutely. Some of them are horrendous.
Yeah, some very scary.
There's the acne, there's the... Yeah,
voice crackling.
Voice,
that was my favorite. That was my favorite.
Mine never changed, I don't think, but I don't care.
But, I mean, certain.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. There's right. It's too gross.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it's way too gross.
Yeah. So I mean, your body
ridiculous
alone,
changes.
Your body alone goes through trauma.
Okay. Basically,
you're going through trauma, which then affects you mentally, and then on top of that, you got
peer pressure
all
stress,
over the place.
Sexuality.
Yeah.
Happening.
There's a million things going on around you. You mean to tell me that something weird ain't going to happen around
Well,
you?
Yeah, exactly. It can't. Things have got to go awry.
Yeah, I mean, because you're thinking about all that pent-up energy. It's got to go somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
It can't stay contained. You'll explode.
Mm-hmm.
You'll literally explode. You can't keep filling up a balloon with water and expect it to keep expanding and expanding and
into
expanding.
Infinity, because it doesn't.
It is going to go...
Eventually,
and water's gonna go everywhere.
Yeah,
it's gotta release somehow. You know when you burp? You know how you burp?
I don't, but yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. I burp.
No. No, I do occasionally. Yeah.
There's gas in your stomach. There's air in your stomach. And
yeah,
it has to be released somewhere. If it wasn't released somewhere, you would explode. The same thing goes for this psychic energy we're talking about. That's at least our interpretation of it. I mean, and it makes a lot of sense. It's very common because we are dealing with energies here. We're not dealing with creepies and ghoulies all the time. We're talking about energies.
Mm-hmm.
And how energy, it has physical properties that we don't know anything about.
That we're trying to learn
about.
Yeah.
learn about. So, I mean, the poltergeist phenomena, I know probably everybody's seen the movie and seen the giant skull come out of the wall and the tree try eating the kid and all that stuff. And that's all fun. But the poltergeist phenomena itself, it's very, very, very interesting. And it may just lead down the road to something that is easily explained by going, look, the kid is 16 years old and he hates the world.
Yeah.
Which, when you're that age, it's very likable, I mean, very likely and very, very understanding, if you ask me, that you hate the world sometimes, because the whole world is basically on top of your shoulders at that time.
Yeah.
So, the poltergeist phenomena, I mean, it's a whole different realm of the whole topic of the show, really, about the psychological effects of
the
paranormal.
Yeah, that's the icing on the cake. That's the epitome that envelopes everything in one obvious, example.
Yeah.
Poltergeist phenomena
but
is
But what's going
psychological...
on is that energy, that psychic energy is being cast out, and it's doing something.
Yeah.
Which creeps me out.
And then that, in turn, of course, then affects other people.
Yeah.
The other people around the individual... Freaking them out.
Right back full circle to the beginning of the show when we were saying, hey,
I think I'm haunted.
I think I'm haunted, and I'm scared. Leave me alone.
So, yeah, they may want you to leave them alone, or they may want you to investigate and show, yeah, something's going on.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's brilliant. It's the whole thing. I mean, you really do have to keep in mind that none of us are invincible, and none of us cannot be scared by, you know, none of us, there's something everybody has in their life, whether it is ghosts or it's custard, one of the two.
Yeah.
That scares them, okay?
Yeah.
And just keep that in mind when you're doing this sort of thing, that going back to what we were saying earlier, if you are dealing with people, you should always be sensitive to their feelings.
Also keep in mind that the two hosts of Ghostly Talk, Scott L. and Doug, cannot stop the clock. And it's 8 o'clock.
Jeez.
Yep.
Too bad.
This is the end of this edition of Ghostly Talk.
So,
send your emails to ghostlytalk@yahoo.com if you want to talk to us about anything.
Yeah.
And
we're also on the Yahoo chat, the Yahoo Messenger. So if you're listening to the show, you can actually just type in, we're the ID under Ghostly Talk. All one word, obviously. GHOSTLYTALK.
Awesome. Good job.
Ghostly Talk.
Yeah.
So if you want to say something, if you have a comment about the show, if you have a question, if you want to rant.
Yeah.
We
read the messages as they come up on the screen while we're doing the show.
Also, on top of this, we're writing for the whole new season. We're working on Project 2 right now. We have a million new ideas, but we always like new ideas. And if you have an idea, possibly it could be a topic for a show,
mm-hmm.
please feel free. We'll be more than glad to cite you if you want.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we love new ideas. We're always trying to learn, and we're hoping you're learning right along with us. So with that, I think we should call it a night. Cause
yes. Heavy, heavy show.
Heavy, heavy show.
But an awesome show.
Great. You guys have a good week. Take care of yourself. I'm Scott L.
And I'm Doug.
And this is Ghostly Talk.
Remember, Sunday nights at 7.
New season. Bye.
True science will not deny the existence of things because they cannot be weighed and measured. It will rather lead us to believe that the wonders and subtleties of possible existence surpass all that our mental powers allow us clearly to perceive.
We must ignore no existence whatsoever. We may variously interpret or explain its meaning and origin, but if a phenomenon does exist, it demands some kind of explanation.
A quote from the Principles of Science, William Stanley Jevons, 1835 to 1882.